contractors are finding the federal government's lapse in appropriations is depressing their revenues. A few have announced layoffs or furloughs of employees, and the longer the shutdown drags on, the worse it could be. For a view of how things are looking in the government services industry, we turn to Stan Soloway, president of the Professional Services Council. Stan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
All right. So what are your members seeing in terms of contract continuance in the first place?
They're seeing kind of every flavor of everything you can imagine. We've had cases where people are still working because they have money from, you know, FY13 money, and they're not performing on government sites. We have other cases where they've been shut down, partial shutdowns. There's been sort of every flavor. You know, the first and foremost issue is taking care of the employees. And a lot of companies have very quickly tried to generate strategy where they can put some people on personal time off or turn them into some sort of overhead activities internally. Well, the revenues aren't coming in, but that can only last a very short time. And I think, as you saw with some of the other companies that are public and have to announce these things, we've seen a substantial number of layoffs or people on leave without pay and so forth.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could give us any specific examples. For example, we know that in other realms, Lockheed Martin says that it's going to furlough 3,000 people beginning today. Also, United Technologies says that it could furlough up to 5,000 if the shutdown lingers. Who else are you hearing from?
Well, it's everybody in the marketplace has been affected to some degree. Now, some companies, depending on the kind of work they're doing, if it's money, as I said, if there's money still, they're operating on money from FY13, and they're doing work that's considered essential, largely sometimes on-site or off-site, they may still be working, as their government counterparts may also still be working in some cases where they're not. And then the reverse is true. So the Lockheed and particularly the United Technologies cases are interesting because they demonstrate a second-order effect that a lot of folks hadn't contemplated when this was all going into it happening. Those, in the case of United Technologies, as I understand it, the biggest issue there is not that there's not funding for the work. It is that because the Defense Contract Management Agency was essentially entirely furloughed, they don't have their DCMA quality assurance personnel on site because DCMA at the large plants will have a presence full-time. And if they're not there to do the quality assurance, you can't function. So they have to shut down. So that's one of those second-order effects. The employment identification system called E-Verify, which, as you know, grew out of 9/11, that is shut down. So people who are even trying to hire can't get somebody through an identity a confirmation of identification process that they have to use to validate that they have citizenship and so forth. And then we have a number of companies, I'd say probably the majority of them, that have at least some percentage, I'd say somewhere between 20 and 70% of their work, where they've had to stop work, have been given stop work orders, sometimes in complete contravention to the Office of Management and Budget guidance, but nonetheless they've gotten it, and they've had to put people on personal time off or, you know, forced vacation, or in some cases, as cash runs out, leave without pay.
Yeah, I talked to one services contractor the other evening and has many, many contracts across a broad range of agencies. And they were still estimating between 50 and 70% of them were still going, which to me sounds like 30% to half are not going. And so that's a huge hit to revenues. How do they keep the people around that they'll need eventually when that work restarts and still avoid going into a red situation, a loss?
Well, depending on how many positions are involved for a given company, you may not be able to do both. So let's do the quick math. Let's just say we're in our second week now of the shutdown. Let's say, as most people expect, it goes almost 3 weeks. But just take 2 weeks. 2 weeks is about 3 or 4% of the year. That may not sound like a lot, but if you lose 3 or 4% of your revenue, that could be your entire margin for the year. It could put you into the red as a company for the year. And at the same time, you're trying to retain folks who are not getting or not generating revenue. So it exacerbates the problem. So it is very much of a challenge for companies. Many challenges will have to go into the red, at least temporarily, if not for their entire year, to protect their folks. And the reality is we talk about company revenues, and it sounds like it's kind of an amorphous kind of corporate steel structure over here that's a monolith. But what that means in the services industry is people are losing their jobs.
Yeah, and from that employee—
Emily, let me just say one thing.
Sure.
Once that revenue is gone, you cannot make it up. So contractors will not be compensated for the lost time.
Just wondering here, I mean, we know that with the federal government, with furloughing employees, there are strict laws that dictate what can and can't happen. Are there similar laws in the private sector? I mean, do these companies have to furlough, or is this their choice because they basically don't want to keep paying people?
Well, it's not a question of choice that they don't want to. I mean, they'll pay them as long as they can. The problem is they simply don't have the revenue to pay them. Think of it this way. If you're in the services industry and you're billing relatively monthly, and it's overgeneralization, but it's generally true. So your August invoices went in early September, have probably not yet been paid. Meanwhile, the payment systems are largely shut down because of the government shutdown. You haven't yet invoiced for September because it's early October. You'd be invoicing now, and you're not getting revenue in October. So you could be looking at 2 to 3 months in cash flow issues, which once they start adding up, you simply don't have the money to be able to keep everybody on full pay. So they go on leave without pay. So leave without pay, obviously you still retain your benefits and so forth. That's not a pure furlough. It's not cutting somebody off. So you still have sunk costs of some substantial amount. But if you don't have revenue, you simply can't afford to pay. This is not a matter of protecting profits. It's a matter of just sheer cash flow.
We're speaking with Stan Soloway, the president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. Now, we hear about some of the big companies from time to time in financial reporting, like Microsoft and Apple, that have gigantic hoards of cash. In general, PSC members, the federal professional services contractors, what kind of cash do they tend to have that they could use to tide them over a period like this?
It's a little bit of a tough question to answer, Tom, because you do have some very large companies which have cash that they haven't spent because they were looking to expand to do other things, that because of the market they're kind of being very conservative about it. But a typical services company is not going to have a huge well of cash behind them. It's typically reinvested as it comes in. It may go out in profit sharing in the company. We have companies that are employee-owned, so it's divided amongst the employees. We have companies that are privately held. So they don't typically have huge wells of cash. But for example, we have companies. I'll give you one example. We have a company that's owned by private equity, private investors. They have a bank covenant coming due, very normal course of business in the industry. If they don't have the revenue to pay that, their investors that own the company will have to draw revenue from others of their portfolio companies, which have nothing to do with the government market. That's a very big deal. So it's not like they have lots of cash. It's okay, we'll take care of you for now. These are companies that they make a decent margin. But they're not making massive margins, and they certainly don't make the kinds of margins that allow them to husband a lot of money away.
But maybe on the positive side, those types of contractors, primarily services, also don't have large trade payables that they might be beholden to, like a Lockheed or a manufacturer.
It varies. Most of their cost, the largest cost in the services industry is people. So that is clearly not, you don't have the investment in infrastructure that you typically do in the manufacturing and so forth. You don't have a supply chain that you have to be concerned about. But you have people, and you may have subcontractors and teaming partners and others. You may be trying to hire. Just think of if you're trying to hire for government technology, where we have this dramatic need for personnel, whether it's in the government or in the industry because of the huge demographic problems. What's going to attract young technology people to either the government or a government contractor when they watch the dysfunction that's all over the place today?
So, Stan, with that said, and employees being the biggest cost of these contractors, do you foresee more furloughs and the situation with contractors becoming even worse even after a government shutdown ends because there's a delayed effect?
Well, be careful again with the use of the word furlough because it could have different meanings. I think that the longer it goes on, there's no question you will see greater impacts going from personal time off expires pretty quickly, and then you have to go to leave without pay. And so you retain your benefits, but you don't have income coming, and these are families with mortgages just like everybody else. You will see more of that because there's simply not enough cash to pay them. Now, I think the DOD move may help. We won't know for a few days for those in the DOD market what impact that has on contractors. But remember, there is still a funds issue for DOD. So people who are working now may not be getting, as federal employees or contractors, may not get paid on time. So there's still going to be a delay at a personal level, but at least they'll know it's coming. But yes, the longer it goes on, the bigger the problem. And last thing I'll say about that is you can only do it so long as you can't afford to drive your overhead costs up by doing all kinds of internal things, because the market's so competitive. When things are moving, you can't afford to have such high overhead rates. It makes you non-competitive.
Yeah, and I guess my question might have better been phrased like this. Is it going to be harder for the contractors to bounce back from the shutdown than for the federal agencies themselves?
Well, the people, they'll have the people, there are limits to what you can do. They're part of the issue with leave without pay for contractors. There's two pieces. One has, from a customer perspective, you have to be available. So if the shutdown were to end tomorrow, I have to have my people available on Wednesday to get back to work, essentially, that kind of a thing. But in the private sector, on a leave without pay, you have to do it in 1 week increments. So it gets very complicated how that works, but they'll have to work through the finances. I think the bottom line is, at least in the near term, there are people who are on leave without pay and don't have income coming in. There are companies that are watching their cash flow really go south. Will they be able to recover? Sure, they'll recover. And most companies are pretty agile. They know how to do this. But it could be pretty impactful.
And what about the primes? Because they're a step further removed from all of this. So if a prime can come in, the subs could be slower to come back, or maybe not at all.
Well, I think what you hear from the manufacturing side in particular, the real concern is the supply chain. And you're right. The big primes, they're hurting. They're taking some big hits, but they had spent a couple, 3 years getting ready for some of this, and they have a little bit of a wall. Yes, they are furloughing folks and so forth, and they're going to be hit. But you talk to them, what they're really worried about is their supply chain, the small suppliers throughout the chain, and there are hundreds and hundreds, you know, on a given program, who really can't tolerate significant swings in revenue. And if they go away, it's not clear how they replace them. So you talk to the large primes in the hardware world, they are very concerned about their supply chain.
So Stan, when your members call you, or when they called you last week asking for advice, what do you tell them?
They call us.
Write your congressman.
So we don't have to answer all those questions, but we try to offer what insights we have. There has been some effort to maintain a communications line with the major agencies. I've been on the phone a lot with the leadership because they're very curious as to how the guidance that's been put out is being implemented. And one of the big problems is it's being implemented in a very inconsistent way. And so what you would expect to happen logically or would be the right or fair thing is not always happening either. So they're trying to watch that. And as I said, there are these second-order effects that we have to keep our eyes on in terms of residual impacts or that cascading effect of a furlough and pieces of the chain that it can affect. So we try to just keep them informed of what we know. We've given them a fair amount of information. We have a resource center on our website, and it's pretty much all we're talking about these days.
Stan Soloway is president of the Professional Services Council. And Stan, thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure, guys.